Mark's gospel account, we hear that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, begins with a voice, a word, a prophetic word proclaimed by God's prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament and proclaimed by the Savior's herald in the New. Such a voice speaking such a word is God's voicing of his heart to a fallen creation, to Jews, Gentiles, you, me, to every region and all the world, so that all the world might come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. This is God's will. This is God's heart. God so loved the world that he sent John first. Then he sent his son. It's not for Jesus' sake that John prepares the way. The King of Kings needs no such things. Pomp and circumstance do not become him in his humiliation. Trumpets and parades of majesty and splendor and power and might are displays of Gentile delusion to both God and his kingdom. Surely the day will come when Jesus enters into his kingdom, but there is no stallion reserved for him, only a donkey. And there is no palace from which he is to rule, only a dead tree. No, Jesus does not need John to make preparations for his advent. We need John to make preparations for his advent. We need the voice of one crying in the wilderness. We need the heart of God poured out upon us through the ministry of preaching. We need to begin with John because we need the rough places smooth and the crooked places straight. We need to be ready. Today, tomorrow, and forevermore, because it's not Christmas we're looking forward to, it's eternity.
Amen.
And eternity could happen upon any one of us on any given day. Mm-hmm. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you listening to John? And John does not meet us where we are. In fact, John calls us away from where we are, because where we are is part of the problem. John is in the wilderness. He's not in the city. John is near the water. He's not near the lights. John is hearing confession, not wish lists. John is giving forgiveness, not toys and cookies. John is taking life and death, the Lord and eternity seriously, not playing about in the river like a child at a water park. John is preparing for the coming of the Messiah. He's not throwing a baby shower. God is fulfilling his promises spoken to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, Isaiah, and Malachi, and all his people. The Lord is about to act for the salvation of the world, and the people of the world have their hearts in the wrong places for the wrong reasons, all at the wrong times. Their hearts are rough with the scars of sin, and there's no straight way to their soul. They're weary, lost, distracted, disillusioned. Sin has been heaped up like a mountainous mass, and they see neither the wonders of their God in their midst nor the need of their neighbor. They are not ready to receive the King and his kingdom. We don't talk like that today, do we? We don't talk about rough places and crooked paths. We rarely even talk about sin, especially this time of year. Most of us prefer the baby shower to the preaching of John the Baptist in the wilderness. Well, maybe not most of us. Guys usually aren't too big on baby showers. But we don't really talk about sin that way anymore, do we? Today we prefer to call it baggage, or issues, skeletons in our closet, character flaws, personality disorders, and alternative lifestyles. These are the things that get between us and Jesus and us and our neighbor. Others struggle to get past their calendars or their pocketbooks. Commitments to trivial things, things that are not eternal, things that do not last beyond the moment, these we choose instead of worshiping Jesus. Choosing these things, the rough places heap up, and the crooked path wander about, and the heart and soul suffers. So where begin with John. We begin in the wilderness. We begin with repentance. We begin with confession. And confession has two parts. First, that we confess our sins. And second, that we receive absolution, forgiveness of sins. And this absolution is no mere, don't worry about it. It's not about you trying harder to be better. It's not about doing this or doing that to make up for what you've already done or not done. It's not about you moving your own mountains, carrying your own baggage, cleaning out your closet, dealing with your issues, or accepting yourself for who you are. That's not absolution. And to be frank, that's not even confession. That's not repentance. That's arrogance. Scripture teaches that all flesh is grass. The grass withers and the flower fades, and you, beloved, are flesh. And you will wither, and you will fade, and so will I. You will not endure forever if you accept yourself as you are. John calls you away from yourself. John calls you away from your sins. John calls you to the mercy of God in Christ Jesus. John points all of his hearers to Christ. One mightier than he is coming, he says. You can't deal with your sins. John can't carry your baggage, but one is coming who can. One is coming who will carry your burden. One is coming who will confront all your issues. One is coming who will exercise your skeletons and shine the light in the dark places of the depths of your heart. One is coming who will suffer your infirmities and bear your iniquities. One is coming who will regenerate your lifestyle and redeem you in body and soul. One is coming who will take away the sins of the world, and taking them will kill him. Coming one is mightier than you or me. He alone is able to suffer the sins of the world, die the death they demand, and rise out of them to be lord over them as a king lords over his footstool. Hanging on the cross, Jesus will hang between you and God and you and your neighbor. For there is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. And he will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. His reward is with him, and without him there is nothing but sin and death and devil and hell. Jesus will feed his people like a shepherd feeds his flock. He will draw near, and he will be compassionate, and he will be merciful, and he will forgive the sins of many. That is his heart's greatest delight. So says his word, and the word of our God stands forever. From the water, John points to the coming one, to the Lamb, to Jesus and his cross. From the church, we point to the cross and the water. The gospel for you, beloved, begins in the water. In the water of baptism is the cross of Christ. You who are baptized have been united with Christ in his death, and if united with Christ in his death, you will certainly share in his resurrection. Therefore, those who would prepare to receive the Lord are called back to the waters of their baptism. Like the Jews of old, you are called away from the mountainous heaps of sin which you have built up over the days and weeks and years of your life, and into the water was cast your sins into the heart of the sea. In the water, the rough places were smoothed out, and the crooked was made straight. In the water, the word that endures forever was poured over you and in you by God's Holy Spirit. In the water, sin is taken seriously and is literally washed away. In the water, death dies beneath the tide of Christ's passion for you. In the water, there is life, because in the water is the word that endures forever. So to prepare for eternity, daily go back to the water. We return to our baptism. We recall the words and promises of our God. Old Adam is drowned and the new man is raised up and refreshed. Baggage, issues, skeletons, flaws, disorders, and alternatives are bleached with the blood of Jesus. The only blood offered for the sins of the world. The only blood given for you and your salvation. Beloved in the Lord, you need to be ready. Prepare to meet the Lord. And I'm not talking about some sort of spiritual remembering of the first Christmas. I'm talking about the day of his return and the day of your death. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Readiness and preparedness are not a one-time event. They are a continued existence requiring constant participation and attention to the divine word and the sacraments. Through such means, the Lord himself preserves us for the day of resurrection. He keeps us as his own. He continues what he began. Therefore, since all these things have come to pass, beloved, what manner of persons ought we to be? What kind of people are we to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of our God? We are to be the sort of persons whose commitment to the Lord's word exceeds that of our commitments to our calendars and our pocketbooks. We are to be the sort of persons who confess our baggage and receive God's absolution by faith regularly. We are to be the sort of people who do not indulge in the anxieties of this fading world, but denying worldly ambition, pursue the kingdom of God, seeking first his righteousness and patiently awaiting all things from our gracious Father. We are to be the sort of people who look forward to these things and are diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Thus, we are to be the sort of people who are found by him in the middle of it all. For where there is a beginning, there is also a middle and an end. And Jesus is himself the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. And he has met us in the middle of the water, between us and the Father, and us and one another and our neighbors, and us and our sins. And in the middle of it all, we cry to the nations today, tomorrow, and forevermore, behold, this is our God. We will rejoice and be glad in him today, tomorrow, and forevermore.
Amen.
Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen.